Spurs fans, welcome back to another Spurs and Salsa. I'm your host, JD. And on the mic with me is the one and only Mouse in the house.
What's going on, world? What's going on, JD? How you doing?
Not too bad, man. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad. No complaints.
You getting in the Christmas spirit?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think so. Getting ready. It's getting closer.
You got your shopping done? Or started, I guess. Not done, but started.
Man, we got some of it done. We're probably a little late in the game, though, to be honest. We usually have more done by now. But just one of those years. So just we'll figure it out as we go. Maybe end up with doing a bunch of gift cards or something like that.
Whatever they have at HEB, just buy those gift cards.
For sure. I mean, she's usually on top of that. She got belly, so... she's got more important things in her mind, which I don't.
That's like. Right, man. Officially, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, bro. I appreciate it.
We got a future Spurs and Salsa listener coming.
Yeah, soon. Another one.
We'll keep growing.
Yeah.
All right.
Y'all done most of your Christmas shopping?
Yeah. So, my wife and I had Monday off. We took it for her birthday. But what she really wanted to do is knock out a bunch of the Christmas shopping. So we hit up Gold Coffee for, you know, it's one of our, I think Gold Coffee is one of the within the first 10 places that we reviewed on this podcast. We love it there. They've always been a big supporter of the show. We hit that place up. And then we drove across to Original Donut Shop.
Oh yeah, okay.
Get some breakfast. We reviewed that one more recently, but and then we actually knocked out a big chunk of our Christmas shopping. We can't get lazy, right? We can't say, all right, we got a big lead, we can relax. We gotta close out strong. So I'm hoping within the next week, 5 or 6 days, I can knock out the rest of it.
Oh, dang.
I'm hoping. Done. Yeah. But we got a lot to talk about today. Oh, go for it, man. What's up?
I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast yet, but on Christmas morning, it's always a question for me because me and my wife are split on this. But on Christmas morning, when I guess you could answer it like, how was it when you grew up and then how is it for your boys? But on Christmas morning, are all the toys under the tree from Santa, or is some from Santa and some from mom and dad?
So we let the kids open most of their gifts Christmas Eve.
Okay.
So they open that stuff's from us.
Okay.
And then Santa comes at night and he, you know, leaves a few items.
So there are some presents from mom and dad.
Yes.
Is that the way you grew up?
I'd have to ask my parents. I don't remember. That's my mom. I mean, I'm sure I don't remember. I do not remember if my parents put anything on, you know, from them or everything was just from Santa. What's the split like in your house? What's the argument? Yeah.
So for me, right, Christmas morning, everything's from Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Mom and dad don't give me presents. It's everything's okay. From Santa. So that's the way I grew up. But she – and I feel like it was like that for most of my family, like my cousins and stuff. But she grew up, like a couple of big presents are from Santa, and then there's also some presents from mom and dad. But I always tease her that her, you know, mom and dad just wanted to take credit for some presents. They didn't just want to give all the credit to Santa Claus.
Now, but what about when she gets old enough to know? Like, if I did that, my kids would legit ask me why I didn't get them anything. You know what I mean?
And that's her argument. But I never thought, hey, my parents didn't get me anything. Because that's the way I grew up. Everything was from Santa Claus. So I never – that was never a question that came into my head. But that's her argument. Like, she's going to be like, well, everybody gets presents or we buy presents for everybody. But mom and dad don't
buy
them. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a battle I lost. I always try to look for people on my side. But I guess it's hard to find.
It is. That's a good question, and we'll have to. You know, I'm gonna put a Twitter poll up for that. That's a good one.
Yeah, Twitter make me look good.
Maybe Facebook. If you wanna throw up on the Facebook page, you can do that too.
Yeah,
see who's on your side.
Yeah, I usually ask that question on social media about this time of the year.
So, see, there you go. We'll do it. Make it happen. So we got a lot to talk about. We got this, you know, the Spurs hit a little hot streak. We got UTSA closing the deal. We've got recruiting. College recruiting is 1 week away. The Cowboys got it done. So, you know, we got a good little rundown, man. I think last week was a long show for us. I think this week's going to be up there as well because there's so much going on, which is a good thing, right? Better than trying to drag out 30, 45 minutes of nothing on here.
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, when we recorded last week, I think the Spurs had – I think they were on a two-game winning streak, and we were like, do we call it a streak? Do we not?
Yeah.
They rattled off a few more.
They answered that for us. So, last time we recorded, like Mal said, they had just beat the Celtics and the Wizards. And then post-recording, they ended up handling the Blazers and the Warriors.
Yeah.
Both on the road, too. Talk about coming on strong.
Uh-huh.
And
I was going to say, it doesn't, you know, obviously the Warriors are the team to beat in the West. You know, maybe the team to beat in the NBA. But it doesn't really surprise me. I said it a few weeks back. Our team is so young and athletic. We're going to beat teams that we shouldn't. Like, we're just going to out-hustle, and we're going to have hot streaks, and we're going to beat the teams we shouldn't. But then we're also going to lose some of those games that we shouldn't either. So I was happy to see them get a big win against the Warriors, but not really surprised.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and this will be a theme even more so when we talk about the Cowboys, but the Spurs have been pretty banged up this beginning of the year. And I'm gonna go on record here on Spurs and Salsa. So anyone that's listened to it long term, they know I've never been the biggest Jakob fan. I just wasn't. I was real critical of him.
Yeah,
I feel I was justified, but I am gonna sit here right now and admit he's probably the most improved Spur.
Yeah,
and he might be the most important Spur outside of Murray.
Yeah, we need him.
Having him back has done wonders for this team. He's become a complete basketball player. You could make an argument. I said he's the most important, our second most important. He might be also be the second best player on the team. So having him back does help. And then, of course, we talked about last week, and I think even more this week, Derek White and Keldon Johnson are starting to become more consistent, which makes this a way better basketball team.
Kelly got a new haircut too. See that last night?
He got a new haircut, and he also rolled his ankle.
Yeah.
But the x-rays are negative, so it shouldn't be too long. But he, from what I read, he's not going to play against the Nuggets. And I was, you know, so I'm looking at the schedule, and I just paused for a second. We're playing the Nuggets back-to-back nights, or back-to-back games. That's so weird.
Huh.
We play them Thursday night. Is that true? Yeah, I guess it is. And then we play them Saturday night. Yeah.
Two nights later.
I haven't had anything to drink, so I think that's I'm looking at the schedule accurately.
And they're both home games.
Yeah, it's weird, I guess. But all right, I guess. So for Spurs fans, or, you know, I know people are autograph seekers. If you hang around Hotel Emma, I'm guessing, you'll probably run into some Nuggets. Because they're going to be here for a few days. They're probably here. We're recording this Wednesday night. They're probably already here. If they're not, they're going to be here Thursday morning. And they'll have to stay here till at least late Saturday night.
Yeah. And it's a late game on Saturday. So Friday night, you can catch them at a dinner spot for sure.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good point. It's a very good point. I wonder if they'll just hang around the Pearl and just have a quiet night of drinks. Do they look, you know, do they go up the street to St. Mary's Strip and get a little rowdy? Everything's so close right there, so it's not too hard to That's interesting.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on their age too, right? Like the Joker, we've seen, you know, footage of him in Miami getting crazy.
Getting down, yeah.
So he might be on St. Mary's Strip running around buck naked.
Correct. Look for a 7-footer running around naked.
Yeah, you won't miss them.
What? I guess it depends too how they do on Thursday. If they come out and beat us up, they could be feeling good Friday night.
Yeah, that's true. But so Keldon won't play at least the first game. Primo did not go back to Austin, so Primo got some minutes the last couple of games.
Yeah.
Let's.
I think it was like at 12 minutes, 14 minutes.
He has 15 minutes against the Knicks.
Yeah.
And then before that was the Suns game was his big block game, wasn't it? Didn't he have?
Yep.
Primo ended up with, I think it was 4 blocks. He had 18 minutes against the Suns. So,
God.
This might be the moment where Primo doesn't go back, because those are heavy minutes. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And he'll get even more against the Nuggets because Keldon won't be playing. Now, if Devin Vassell comes back, and there's still no word on this, it feels like it's a day-to-day situation with Devin Vassell. But even with Vassell coming back, I don't know if Primo's, you know, those are a lot of minutes to be giving, what would you call him, an Austin Spur, right?
Yeah.
I won't be shocked if, and I don't want to get anybody's hopes up, because I think we all want Primo to shine right away. We all want him on the main roster. And we've already talked about the pros and cons of that.
Yeah.
But if he's getting heavy minutes, this might be the time where he never goes back to Austin.
Yeah. And it was nice seeing him and DeJounte on the court together last night. And some of the rotations. And
exactly, because that's probably the future of this team, right?
Yeah. There was a fast break they ran, and it was nice. I think DJ threw it up to Primo. Primo pushed it and then just dropped it back to DeJounte for the layup, I think, or maybe the and one.
And I will say this about Primo. He's much more NBA ready than any of the rookies I think we've had the last few years. You know what I mean? The game's not too quick for him. Like you just said, he looks like he belongs. He's not he's not lost out there. He's not overthinking. He's not afraid to pull the trigger on a shot. I don't want to overhype him. I'm excited for him to get more minutes.
Yeah, and I think they did announce today that Jacques and Wiesenkamp are their second round pick. I guess they're going back to Austin,
or
they're going.
Yeah, as we speak, they're probably driving past Bucky's.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they stop.
I hope so. They know what's good for them.
So if you were a guy that was going back and forth, right?
Yep.
Up and down 35. Besides Bucky's, what would be kind of your routine? Because like Primo and Wiesenkamp, they've done it a few times already. But what would your routine be?
Man, I think it's got to be Bucky's, if depending on which way I'm going. And maybe if I just went to Bucky's yesterday and I want to go back, maybe hit up the outlets, right? Go a little bit farther up to.
Do you think pro basketball players would shop at the outlets?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, wasn't Matt Bonner like driving his like Ford Fiesta to the Spurs or like a Taurus or something like that? And he was in the league and he had some New Balances that were sold. He ripped. While playing them.
I'm going to go ahead and guess that Primo's not stopping at the outlets.
Jacques, maybe.
Maybe he just wants to see, you know, American clothing.
See what it's like.
I don't think they're stopping there.
Well, that's it then. Where else are they going?
Remember, I don't know where they live, but the Spurs play in North Austin, right? Cedar Park. So you're also driving through Austin. Is there anywhere you're stopping? You're going to stop and get some pizza on 6th Street? Or?
Oh, man, it's like late night. About to trying to beat a hangover pizza.
Yeah. Or maybe go Congress.
Some Round Rock donuts. Maybe if they go, they push up even farther.
That's not a bad idea. They probably get those more when they're settled into Austin, Cedar Park. But yeah, that's not a good call. Good call.
What do you think?
My routine, oh, I don't know. I would probably swing by and get a home sliced pizza.
Downtown Austin?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, on Congress. You don't have to go all the way through downtown, but you can go Congress. Other than that, Bucky's and Austin's lost so much the past few years. Like, the condos have kind of pushed a lot of that stuff out that used to be real cool. Truth be told, they're probably stopping at the Domain for clothes. They're probably not going to the outlets. I think it's cute. You think they would?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Because first and foremost, do those stores even have clothes that big?
Yeah, that's a whole different ball game. Like, do they carry a size like 17 shoe?
I don't know the Nike store out there. I don't think they're having the newest Jordans anyway. So
no, maybe they can stop at the Saks Off Fifth or something. I think they got a Gucci store.
They're probably going to the Domain. The Domain's not too far from probably where they live, Northern Austin. Round Rock Donuts is a good one, but I'm wondering too. What do they do when they're here? Like, so Primo, where does Primo live? Is he in an apartment in San Antonio, in Austin? Do the Spurs put him up in a hotel when he's going back and forth? I'm sure I can find this out, and I'm sure it's out there. If anyone That's listening true. Knows, let me, hit me up on our social media pages. We, Instagram at Spurs and Salsa, Twitter, same, Facebook's the same. I'm gonna deep dive into that. I'm sure somebody in the media knows. I'm gonna reach out. That interests me now.
Be careful, because you don't want to sound like a stalker, like you.
Yeah, I don't want to show up to their line. I do want to know, like.
You just want to look at them from the parking lot.
Not even that. I just want to know what their situation is. Like, are they stuck in a hotel when they're here?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because guys like Primo, they've been coming up and back and forth a lot.
Yeah.
So, does Primo, does he have the gumption? Is he confident enough to say, I'm going to buy a house in San Antonio? Because I'll be on the main roster before you know it.
Yeah.
I'll go rent in Austin. We'll see. Besides Jakob, Derek White and Keldon are playing well again.
There's some trade talks heating up, and it's not about Ben Simmons that have come out today.
Yeah, so the Pacers have kind of announced that they're going to be sellers.
Yep.
So we could talk about that. I was going to say
– Oh, go ahead.
No, the only other thing I was going to say is what game was it where I thought they – should have had it. We'll go past that. You're right. So you mentioned trades, the Pacers. Is there anyone on this team that's untouchable for you, or are you just trying to get better no matter the cost?
Man, that's tough. I mean, again, you don't want to give up like DeJounte. I love it if it's going to be like a Derek White or a Walker. I really don't want to give up. Maybe a Thaddeus Young. I mean, I guess the only one – I don't want to give up Keldon, Vassell, or DJ for Sabonis, right? That's kind of who we're talking about here is Sabonis. So, I don't know.
I guess my thing – I want to talk about Lonnie Walker in a minute too, but DeJounte Murray would be the only untouchable one. And that's because, one, he's an all-star. Two, he's an all-star on a very team-friendly deal. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what he gives you on the floor compared to what he's getting paid is that's too much of a value to give up. Other than that, I guess Primo, because you don't know what he's going to be and you're hoping. The thing about the Pacers is they're going to want – the young players.
Young, yeah, right? Because they're in a rebuild mode. That's all.
That's the whole point of selling, yeah.
My thought when I saw it was they're not even really going to – I mean, we'll have to give them somebody or two, but I think they're probably wanting picks, right? Like they're wanting some future.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless it is like a Trey Jones or someone really young.
Yeah, they're going to want picks. They're going to want probably Vassell, maybe also Kelt. It just depends on how they value Miles Turner or Sabonis. So I don't see it happening just because they're kind of in the same place as us, right? The Spurs aren't trying to win now. They don't think they're one piece away from a championship is what I'm trying to say. We're kind of building. The Pacers want to get to building. I don't see anything happening. The only thing I would see is unloading Thaddeus Young, who I love when he plays. His minutes are just so weird on the Spurs roster. And I get it, right? Pop wants to develop the players for the future. But I think Thaddeus needs to be playing over Drew Eubanks. I used to be a big Drew Eubanks guy, but man, it's rough seeing him out there. Especially if Thaddeus is on the bench.
Yeah.
If you got to roll with Eubanks, you have to, but he shouldn't be seeing any minutes over Thaddeus Young. But I think the only trade we make is probably Thaddeus for a pick. But if he's not even playing, we might have to just sit on him for a year. I don't know. The whole Thaddeus Young situation is weird to me, and that's the one part of the front office that I really criticize. I just don't like the way they're handling him right now.
Yeah, it feels like they're anticipating trading him, so they don't want him to get hurt or anything. But
that's true too. But
you think it would have went down by now? Like, you know, the trade would have happened.
Yeah, so I would play him and hope for the best. Because worst case scenario is you buy him out also. I mean, it's not the worst, right? Because you're getting some of that cap space back for the next offseason, but you'd like to get a draft pick out of it. Especially the Spurs, because they're so good at drafting. Give them another bullet in the chamber. I'm down for that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if they could pull off as a bonus trade, I think it'd be huge. Again, it depends on what they're asking for. Right, that's always the most important thing. But I love to have him. He's an all-star. He's a big man. He could be kind of another building block to starting to build something. He's young. I think he's like 25, 26.
Yeah. Those are good points.
So,
I wanted to mention, I don't want to pile on Lonnie Walker. I know we've been talking about him the last couple of weeks. It just seems like the entire Spurs fan base has given up on him.
How's Twitter? What are they saying?
Twitter for sure is giving up on him.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Primo stays on the main roster, do you start to see Primo stealing more and more of Lonnie's minutes? I think Lonnie's the one that would suffer the most. When this team is completely healthy, you know, when Keldon's back from his ankle, when Vassell's back from his calf. Does Primo go back to Austin and stop at the outlets for what Mouse thinks? Or does he start to eat into Lonnie Walker's minutes? Which would kind of be a sign that Lonnie's out the door. Which would be it'd be a shame that it didn't work out, but man, Lonnie's really inconsistent. He just has never been that guy. And now Bryn Forbes is starting to play decent. He actually had, 15 points against the Suns?
Yeah.
And the Spurs, you could tell, are trying real hard to have shooters. So if Primo's shooting better than Lonnie Walker and he's way younger, what's the point at that? You know what I mean? What's the point of playing Lonnie over him? And Lonnie's a free agent after this year. They didn't come to an agreement. The Spurs look like geniuses for not doing that deal. But, I could see Primo starting to inch into Lonnie's minutes. Or I could be wrong. He could be driving past Bucky's by the next time we record this. So, but that's something to keep an eye out if you're a Spurs fan. Another thing I wanted to talk about before we move on. Did you see the ending of the Suns game where McBuckets was trying his hardest to keep us in that game. I think he hit three threes in the final 4 minutes of the game. I could be off on that, but he was just hitting big shot after big shot. And he reminded me, and he's been hurt, or was it COVID? I don't remember, but having him back is quietly another positive for this team.
Yeah, because, you know, going into the year, what are we talking about? We need somebody to stretch the floor. We need to knock down. We need some shooters that can knock down, not those mid-range shots, right? We need those three-point shots. That's where we've needed the most improvement. And with him out there, I mean, he's definitely that shooter. You know what I mean? He gives us that for sure.
Yeah. And I'll end on that. I like I said last week, I was so close to be on Team Tank. Not that we should lose on purpose, but I just thought, okay, the season's lost. Let's just lose as much as possible, see what we got with the young guys, and go for a top five pick. But they're only three spots out. They're only three games out of like the seventh or sixth seed. And they're getting healthy, and this team's going to get better. You know, they're extremely young. I'm giving myself hope again that the Spurs are going to make a real playoff run. I'm not even Googling mock drafts anymore.
Wow.
I'm not even going to watch college basketball for the sake of scouting. I know a lot of Spurs fans, especially on Twitter, they're watching every college game that has a big name player. They're falling all over themselves for. I mean, I am going to watch college basketball, but not looking for the next Spur, because I think this team's going to be pretty good when healthy. And I know you're anti-tank, so.
Yeah, I'm anti-tank, but I don't think we make a playoff run. I don't think we get in.
Even though they're only three games out?
Yeah, even though they're only three games out. I mean, we doubled our wins right in the last week, basically. We got four wins in a row, right? Is that what we did?
Yeah, it was four in a row. That's what I'm saying. You don't think this is who they are? No?
No, I think they got hot. I think we'll rattle off these wins kind of like that, but we're also going to lose four, five in a row. Like, you know, I think we'll bottom of the bucket. I don't think we'll make the playoffs at all.
Okay.
But I'm okay. I'm okay with that, right? This is coming into the year. This is what I knew it was going to be. Dark days, but like Tupac said, after every dark day is a bright. What? After every dark night is a bright day after that.
You better quote him correctly.
I am too. That's it.
I think this team's going to keep us second-guessing our decision every week. I think you and I are going to have this conversation every week. If we want them to tank, if we think they're going to make the playoffs. I really do. I think this will be like a segment every week.
Yeah.
We'll get some segment music for it and everything else.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, we're sitting at 8 wins. The lowest seed in the West has 7 wins, right?
So it's not, yeah.
We're three games out of the playoffs, but we're not that far from the bottom of the barrel.
That's a good point. You know what? Checkmate. You got me there. All right. Well, one team that all they did was win most of the time, UTSA down the road.
Oh.
Downtown San Antonio. You know what I loved the most about this whole UTSA run is how much the city just rallied around this team.
Did you go to the game after all, or did y'all watch it?
I just watched it. Once the lower bowl sold out of the dome, I didn't want to sit up top.
Yeah.
But it was amazing, man. It was I did drive downtown at night the next day, so that's Saturday. Seeing a couple of the buildings, like I think it was Santa Rosa, Frost Bank, and a few other downtown buildings were blue and orange lights. It was the day after. Seeing everyone in San Antonio just because, you know, I follow a lot of restaurants, you know, bars for the podcast, mm-hmm. people we reviewed in the past, and supporting local. All of them were just all about UTSA, and it was really cool. It was cool to see UTSA got it done. They were the underdogs going into the Conference USA Championship, and I mean, they did it. They won their conference for the first time ever. The cool thing is, the next time we all go to the Alamo Dome, well, maybe not the next time, but by September, there's going to be a banner.
Yeah, I was going to say, are they going to hang it? I'm sure they will, right?
It'll be Conference USA 2001 champions. And that's a big deal. I don't know if people understand how big a deal it is to win your conference in football. They have no bearing on if they can make the playoff because they're never going to get let in. But what they could control was winning their conference, and they went out and did that. So good job on them. The awards are starting to pile up. Obviously, Jeff Treder was Coach of the Year, Conference USA. Sincere McCormick, the running back, was Conference USA Offensive Player of the Year. Frank Harris, the quarterback, he won an award for Player of the Year. I can't remember if it was Dave Campbell's Texas football or Earl Campbell, Tyler Rose. One of those awards he did win. Frank Harris is awesome, man. If we have any long time listeners of this podcast, since his freshman year, we were hyping him up. We've been on the Frank Harris hype train since the beginning. I remember a listener saying, you guys hype him up way too much. I think one listener reached out to one of our old co-hosts. He's like, man, you guys love Frank Harris. So seeing him do what he's doing is amazing. Also a great young man. I just saw on Twitter, Wednesday night, he was at the Walmart by campus ringing the bells, collecting money for Salvation Army.
Oh, that's cool.
Out there with Sweep the League podcast and Rudy J from San Antonio Sports Star. So he's a good dude, man. Sincere McCormick ends with almost 1,500 rushing yards.
Is he coming back?
I don't know. I don't know. If you're a running back and you only have so many carries in your body,
yeah.
I'm not going to be mad at him if he decides to go to the NFL. He deserves it. He deserves to go to the NFL. He's good enough to be one of the top running backs taken and be good representation of the UTSA. They also have a running back behind him, Brendan Brady. I think he's from Judson as well. I'm sorry, he's from Cibolo, so he might be a steel player. Anyways, he's really good also, so I think he would come back and want to be the lead back for the defending of the Conference USA title. But their season's not over. They have one more game. They got the bowl game. They're in the Frisco Bowl against San Diego State, who's actually ranked number 24. So UTSA, I mean, they should be ranked. They've only lost one game, for God's sake. But they can go out, they could win a bowl trophy, and they can go take San Diego State's ranking. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Were they unhappy about that bowl game? I thought I read something about
that. So they were – let me clear that up. So Conference USA has the weirdest way of picking bowl games for their teams. Most other conferences – the bowl games are allocated by where you finish. So, for instance, the Big 12. Baylor won the Big 12. Shout out to Baylor. What a turnaround for that program again. They won the Big 12. So they go to the Sugar Bowl. That's where the Big 12 champion goes if they don't make the playoffs. The number two team in the Big 12 goes to the Alamo Bowl. That's just how it is. So if you're the number two team, you get to go to the Alamo Bowl. Same with the Pac-12. The Pac-12, the winning team of the Pac-12, which is Utah this year, they're going to the Rose Bowl. The number two team in the Pac-12, which is Oregon, they come to the Alamo Bowl. And they go so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Conference USA has, I think they have 5 bowl games that they're associated with, but they don't list them out like that.
Oh.
The conference and the network decide, or the conference and the bowl games decide who goes where. And they try to keep it regional so that the fans could travel.
Got it.
But then there's this other weird rule. So ESPN owns a lot of the bowl games. They don't own the Independence Bowl. So the Independence Bowl on paper looks like the biggest bowl Conference USA has. So I think most UTSA fans thought they'd be going to the Independence Bowl against BYU, who's a really highly ranked team. It would be fun. Well, ESPN does not own the Independence Bowl, but ESPN has this weird rule with Conference USA where they get first dibs. So basically, ESPN gets to pick the conference champion and put them in one of their bowls that they own. So ESPN owns the Frisco Bowl. Obviously, UTSA is the biggest story of Conference USA, the biggest team of Conference USA. The Frisco, Texas is only, what, a four-hour? You did that drive recently.
Yeah, ain't that bad.
Ain't that bad. So that's why.
So it was more ESPN than anybody else.
It's ESPN and the way Conference USA allocates their games. Yeah. But they're playing a really good team. They're playing a ranked team, so it'll be a really good game still. And I know people were worried about the payout, but every conference, including Conference USA, they take their bowl money and they put it all in a pot and they divide it equally. Mm. So even though the payout for Independence Bowl is more, UTSA didn't lose out on money. They're all going to get the same amount of money. But it's in a soccer stadium that only holds 17,000.
Oh, shit.
I wouldn't be surprised if that game sells out and it's like 95% UTSA fans. I've already seen the map. I think there's only two sections within that stadium that even have tickets. So it'll be almost a home game for UTSA. And again, you're playing a ranked team, so go out and take the ranking from them. So there's still plenty to play for. That game is December 21st. Before Christmas? It's before. Okay. Tuesday before. Speaking of college football, the playoff came out. Was there any surprises for you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I guess the ranking, what I was just focused on is the four teams, right? Regardless of how they rank.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And those are the four teams we talked about last week, so I wasn't.
I guess the only shocker was that Bama won, so they got to stay in the top four.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about Georgia?
Man, it's hard to go against Alabama, but Georgia, I feel like they're the team to beat.
Still?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they come out and when did they lose to Alabama? A couple weeks ago?
They just lost to Bama this week in the
conference
championship.
Yeah, but I just feel like, I don't know, if I'm looking at these teams, I feel like I'm picking Georgia. But again, Alabama is like they're Alabama, right? So they know how to win these games. Saban knows how to do it, and he always has his players ready. So I think the easy pick is Alabama, but
I think I lost all confidence in Georgia.
Really, they got spanked, didn't they?
Yeah, and it's also because I was looking at Georgia because we've been told all year that Georgia's a beast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we all came to accept it. They were the only undefeated Power 5 team. They're in the SEC, so we just assume, hey, they're undefeated, and everybody's telling us they're good, they're good. So then I look at their schedule, and they open the year, and they beat Clemson, who was number 3 at the time. They beat them by a touchdown. And that's when we put them on a pedestal. And I'm going to run down their schedule. They beat UAB, which everybody here at UTSA knows. They beat South Carolina. They beat Vanderbilt. They beat Arkansas.
Good team.
They beat Auburn. They beat Kentucky. They beat Florida, Missouri, Tennessee. Charleston, something called Charleston Southern. And Georgia Tech. That's not really murderer's row. They were able to avoid the other good teams in the SEC, like Ole Miss or Mississippi State or A&M. So just to put in perspective.
Yeah.
Their best win is against Arkansas, who's ranked, I think, 23. Let me look at their rankings. We'll go off coach's poll. They beat number 21, Arkansas. Well, never mind. So They beat number 19 Clemson. I like to see where people ended.
Yeah.
They beat number 19, number 21, and 22. In that same little realm of ranked teams is number 23 Louisiana. The only reason I bring that up is the 5-7 Longhorns beat Louisiana. So Georgia and Texas basically have the same quality win. So if I'm a betting man, I don't know if I'm betting on Georgia. I think Michigan might take them.
I think when you put it that way, I didn't think about it like that, and I kind of argue with that, but I think it's just, you know, when you come out of their conference and they were putting it to people, like they weren't just winning.
Yeah,
I think they had a bunch of shutouts. And maybe it is the hype. Maybe it is the ESPN hype all year.
I think it's because they beat Clemson, and we thought Clemson was Clemson.
Yeah.
You know, to put in perspective, Michigan's best win is against number 6, Ohio State. And then they beat number 15, Iowa, this week. Those are the two big ranked wins. I just don't know if we know enough about, and then Alabama, their best win is against number 8, Ole Miss,
and Georgia, of course, right?
And then, oh yeah, and then Georgia. So, I really think I would. You know what? I think I'm gonna pick Michigan in that game, and we can make our we'll make more picks later, but because this game's not for a few weeks. But I'm not high on Georgia. I think we all drink the Kool-Aid a little too quick on that. But
we'll see, because they'll be tested.
We'll see quick.
Yeah.
Some other big games. Like I said, the Alamo Bowl's got Oregon and Oklahoma, which I'm wondering how the fan bases feel. I wonder if they're going to come to San Antonio. Or if they're, you know, because both of those teams had playoff aspirations up until a couple weeks ago. You know what I mean? Are they too bummed and they don't even show up to San Antonio?
I'd venture to say there'd be more Oregon fans in Oklahoma.
We'll see. I'm wondering, because they're both, on one hand, they're disappointed in their season. On the other hand, you're playing a big team, right? You're playing a big team. You're both still ranked, and you're still both ranked pretty high.
I just feel like the Sooner fans are checked out after this year, because their hopes were really high. And then you come out, you play the way you do. Spencer Rattler gets benched in a couple of games, and then you lose your head coach. Like, I feel like they're done.
They're done with the season. Yeah, I can see that. You don't think them? So it's number 14 Oregon against number 16 Oklahoma. So they're ranked really close. They're both ranked pretty high. You don't think they say, you know what, let's go down there, because a win in this game can kind of, I don't want to say kickstart, but it gives you a good taste in your mouth for the finale of the season. But we'll see. I guess we'll see if they do show up. I hope they do. It's always great for the city when the fan bases come and go downtown, spend the money. We'll run down more of the bowl games closer to maybe next week. But the other big story I want to talk about before we move on to the Cowboys is Quinn Ewers, the super stud quarterback that was supposed to be playing for South Lake Carroll this year. So here's his story. For those that don't know, Quinn Ewers is supposed to be a senior playing in the high school playoffs this year. He should be playing for South Lake Carroll right now. Instead, he graduated early from high school, and he went to Ohio State, where he made $1 million on one of those NIL deals. So more power to him. If you can make that kind of money, go ahead and do it. You know, we'd be silly to say, oh, that 17-year-old should stay in high school instead of go make $1 million. So he goes to Ohio State, but they have a freshman quarterback that does pretty well, CJ Stroud. So Quinn Ewers says, you know what, I'm gonna transfer. Now, for anyone that thinks he's being a crybaby or whatever, It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Justin Fields was at Georgia, and he wasn't going to start. So he transferred to Ohio State, ended up being a top NFL pick. Joe Burrow was at Ohio State, transferred to LSU, won a Heisman, won a national title, became the number one overall pick. Kyler Murray left A&M. Baker Mayfield left Texas Tech. They both won Heismans, both became the number one overall picks. So
you, you have to remember, these kids are like 17, maybe 18 years old, committing.
Yeah.
Probably one of the biggest decisions. I would say definitely the biggest decision of their life up until that point. Committing to a school, and then, you know, you get there and it just doesn't work out. Whether there's somebody else ahead of you, the program doesn't fit what you want. I mean, there's a lot of things that, that can happen.
Exactly. So I don't fault the kid at all. Mm-mm. What makes this special is I just named a bunch of quarterbacks that were recruited, went to a school, transferred, and still became number one overall picks, won Heisman trophies. And Quinn Ewers, he has a perfect score as far as the recruiting rankings. He's the first quarterback to have a perfect score since Vince Young. So we're talking about a player who probably goes the same route.
Yeah.
Now, he could be a big bust. He could be. But the reason there's so much media around this whole situation is because the chances are not only is he not a bust, but he's the next Heisman Trophy winner, the next first overall pick. What I do like about him is he specifically wants to come home to Texas. I'm all about that.
Yeah.
The three schools that came out right away that were he was interested in was Texas, Texas A&M, Texas Tech. A&M bowed out. They said they weren't going to pursue him.
Really? I didn't see that.
Yeah. Oh. They have a 5-star recruit coming in themselves. And, of course, they have Haynes King, who got hurt this year. I guess they didn't want to upset the apple cart.
Yeah.
If they're a quarterback room, which I get it. Hey, if you told your 5-star quarterback that you've recruited that you will not be pursuing anybody else, then I would also stay true to my word and just stick with him. So right now it looks like it's a battle between Texas Tech and Texas.
I felt good about it before, but after hearing that, I'm even more excited.
People think it will be Texas, and it makes sense, right? He grew up a Texas fan. He made it well known that he's a Texas fan. They now have a coach, Steve Sarkisian, who develops quarterbacks into NFL players. I'm sure Steve Sarkisian went to his house already and said, hey, look what I did with Mac Jones, who was a 3-star recruit. He's going to be the offensive rookie of the year in the NFL. Imagine what I could do with you. And, of course, Quinn Ewers wants to play right away, and Texas doesn't have the strongest QB room. So chances are he probably would play right away. So it just feels like everything's lined up for him. But we'll see. The reports I'm seeing is Saturday he'll visit Austin. And they're hoping he makes his decision this weekend.
Oh.
Because they're hoping that his name, whether he goes to Texas or Texas Tech, brings other top recruits to Tech, to whatever school he goes to.
And you think he'd want that too, right?
Like yeah, I think he does also. You're right. That's a good point. He also wants it. He also wants that. And because here's the thing. The state of Texas is always loaded. But this year it seems like not only is it very loaded, but the kids that are 5-star recruits, best of the best in the country, haven't committed yet. Harold Perkins, a linebacker, he looks like he's the number one player in the class. He's not committed. Devin Campbell, 5-star offensive lineman. He's not committed. Kelvin Banks, he's another 5-star offensive lineman. He was committed to Oregon, but they lost their coach. So now he's back on the market. Denver Harris, 5-star cornerback. He's not committed. So you have these 5-star players that are out there. And then there's Evan Stewart, a receiver who is committed to A&M. But if they get at Quinn Ewers, he might think twice. So there's all these 5-star players that are out there for grabs. So Quinn Ewers could swing the tide on those. But or they could go to A&M. So let me tell you, A&M right now is like the number two class in the country.
Yeah.
They already have 4 or 5 stars in their class. So if they land 2 or 3 more of the ones I just named, it might end up being the number one class in the country. And it might be a class. Texas is 7.
7, okay, yeah.
But if they land like Quinn Ewers and 2 or 3 of these other guys, then it jumps up too. So yeah, there's a lot at stake.
That could be the best recruiting class since Vince Young.
Yeah, but also, A&M's could be the best too if they land a few of these. Like, there's so much on the line in Texas. And the cool thing is all the 5-star players I just named, they're all considering Texas or Texas A&M. So they're all going to stay in state, which is important. The only 5-star that's leaving Texas is Cade Klubnik, a quarterback out of Austin Westlake. He's going to Clemson. So other than him, all the 5-star kids are staying in Texas, which is important. But I'm thinking, so signing day is next Thursday. No, it's next Wednesday. I'm thinking we'll record Wednesday night, so we'll know where all these kids go. Mm-hmm. So if you're into recruiting, next week, that's going to be our big recruiting podcast, in addition to Spurs and Cowboys. But I'm curious. And there's no big San Antonio players this year. But again, I'm hoping to get a list of the ones that are here. And I'll run down which kids from San Antonio are going where. I know for a fact, 2 Central Catholic offensive linemen are going to UTSA. And we'll run down UTSA's recruiting class. I know Jeff Traylor is on the recruiting trail. He's been tweeting out pictures at all these different high schools in Texas that he's at. So we'll see. But yeah, next week will definitely be our big recruiting podcast. But until then, what we need to talk about now is the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
They had a win, a much needed win against the New Orleans Saints last Thursday. It feels like such a lifetime ago. These Thursday games are throwing me off. Yeah. So they get the win. It was ugly. It was a good game by the defense. The offense still showed like they had some kinks. But what are your thoughts on the game, Mouse? I purposely didn't really ask you how you felt about this game because I wanted to hear it on the podcast first.
Yeah, I mean, you go into the game missing a bunch of people, including Mike McCarthy, right? Including coaching staff. You have Dan Quinn as a head coach. COVID's kind of running rampant. So you go into the game, you're just hoping somehow you can pull off a win. And I think you said it right. The defense really kept us in the game, and I'd argue they're the reason we won. Offense didn't look good again. Dak looks off. I don't know what's going on with Kellen. They're just not being able to get the guys open. The offense does not look good. But I've said it before, if you want to hit these stumbling blocks around this time, right, by the time the playoffs come, you want to be full steam ahead. So this is our time to figure it out. But Dak again just wasn't, had a couple of bad throws. It was nice. This is the first time that Smith, Lyle, and Zach Martin were on the field together since like 2019.
Yeah.
So it was nice to have our own linemen back. But it was an ugly win, but it's one you need to win, right? The good teams find a way to win these ugly games, and they did. So my hat's off to them. They needed it. But I'm not happy with the offense.
Okay. What are your thoughts? So let me run down what you said for a little bit. I want to say I've read where the wide receivers are not getting separation. I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago on the podcast, maybe last week. Teams have kind of figured out if you get up on them and bump them, they're just not physically strong enough to get off the line. I think they're at the bottom 4 of separation in the league. I read that today on Twitter, so it's got to be true, right?
Yeah.
But it makes sense because it does feel like the receivers aren't getting open. So I do believe it with my own eyes also. Cooper gave us one big play. I just that COVID got him, man, and I hope he's doing great now. I think with COVID, we treat it as sports fans. It's funny. In the real world, we treat it very serious, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody has COVID, you lock them up in a room. You're worried about their health, all that. With sports, as fans, we've kind of treated it like an ankle roll, right? Oh, I guess he failed a test. We know he'll be out this many days, and then he'll be back.
Yeah, yeah.
So with Cooper, we all assumed, oh yeah, he'll just play for the he'll play the Saints game. He'll be fine. And he couldn't get in shape. He just couldn't. His body couldn't get right. It really hit him. So as of this week, everything sounds like he's back to normal for him. He's full participant in practice, from what I've read. But he gave us one big play in the Saints game, and then he was kind of checked out, or not checked out, not mentally checked out, but just physically just couldn't do it anymore. DeMarcus Lawrence was on a snap count. He looked great for the time he played.
Yeah.
We're getting Lawrence and Gregory back at the same time.
Gallimore
is going to be in the middle, and then you got Michael Parsons doing Parsons things. But back to the offense, I think the Connor McGovern experiment at left guard is a failed one. Not that he's bad, but there is a drop off between him and Connor Williams. And I know Connor Williams was pulled because of the penalties, but you can see it now. Connor Williams is a very good run blocker. The run game has suffered without him, which is crazy, but I think we got to stop playing with that experiment and let Connor Williams back in the role. The receivers will be 100% healthy. The line, like you mentioned, regardless if they play Connor Williams or who they play, they're all 100% healthy. I expect a much better game from the offense. Zeke is a full participant in practice. He's not limited at all.
Man, that's something I'm not buying with the Zeke stuff. Like, he just feels – he looks different out there to me.
I agree. I wish they would sit him. But yeah. Maybe this – you called this a mini buy. Maybe it was enough, and I'm hoping that's what it is. But I'm with you. I don't think he's 100%, but he literally said that today in press conference. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to call him a liar, but I do feel iffy about it like you do. I really do.
Yeah. And about going to the receivers, I think Uncle Jerry said it today on the radio or yesterday on the radio about the wide receivers just not running good routes and not being able to get open. So I think there's something to that, but what I think it's more of is Jerry's not going to point the finger at four. Jerry's not going to point the finger at Kellen Moore. He'll blame his wide receivers. So I think it's Kellen's job to figure out some plays, whether it's pick routes, to get these guys open and get Dak rolling early. And it's up to Dak to hit these guys because he still seems off to me. And I don't know if that calf injury is lingering and he's not telling everybody, but he doesn't seem right either.
So I want to get – I was going to try to avoid this so I don't get angry.
That's what we're here for.
I hate that Jerry Jones has a radio show.
Yeah.
Because nothing good came out of what you just said.
Yeah. When I saw the quote, I was like, why is he even saying that?
And it's almost every week we get these
– Headlines.
Headlines. He does not need to have a radio show. He does not need to be saying stuff like this. Because you're right. People are going to either take it as, man, the receivers suck. Jerry just kind of confirmed. Or someone might say, oh, he's making excuses for Kellen. Oh, he's making excuses for four.
Yeah.
Nothing good comes out of what came out of his mouth. Nothing good comes from his radio show.
Yeah.
Now, it gives us headlines. It gives sports writers and Twitter things to write about. But if you're a Cowboys fan, nothing good comes from that radio show at all. And I hate it. And I've said that like 3 or 4 times just this season. And I wanted to, I almost put it out of my mind. And then you just reminded me, I was like, yep, yeah. I remember that. And I don't know why he's, because nothing good. I've never said, man, I'm so glad Jerry Jones went on the radio and said what he said. Never.
Yeah.
It's a negative effect.
Why blame the receivers? Like, don't single them out. You know, take it. We could blame the whole offense, you know, the whole team. We got to figure it out. We got to be better. But don't single out the wide receivers.
I think a lot of it is them, but don't say that.
Yeah.
Don't do, yeah. Because, again, nothing good comes out of that. I hate that. Oh, I hate that. But he said it, and to your point, everyone has to be better. Kellen's got to be better. Yeah. Dak's got to be better. Receiver's got to be better. But this is a big game because of Washington are 2 games behind the Cowboys.
Yep.
And we the Cowboys play them 2 more times. So these games, these head-to-head games are huge. The Cowboys can't win the division this week, but they can put themselves in a great lead for it.
Oh, yeah.
They might not win it outright, but they'll be really close to winning it if they win this game. And now every game is important because the Cowboys are at the 4 seed in the NFC, the entire NFC.
Yeah.
You don't want to drop this because 4 seed, you're still hosting a first round game.
Yeah, and no matter how much better you think you are in the division than the other teams, anybody can win these divisional games, right? We see it with great teams and bad teams. They just play each other so often. They know each other's tendencies. And our next, you know, 4 out of the next 5 games, Washington, New York, Washington, then we go to Arizona comes to Dallas and then Philly, right? So if we don't figure out a way to get it together, this stretch could be bad. But I do feel super positive. I think we'll get it going. I think this is where we start to pull away from the pack and we show who we are.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you look at seeding. You're 1 game behind the Packers. They've got the Bears. They play at the Ravens, Browns, Vikings, and then Lions. So if they can drop a game or two, you're back in business for a 3 seed. Tampa Bay's in front of you. They own our tiebreaker, which sucks. But let me see what Tampa's got. Tampa still has the Bills, which – we'll see. The Saints, Jets, Panthers. So it does look like the Cowboys are still playing for 4. But one thing that helps the Cowboys, especially against the Packers, all those games the Cowboys have lost were AFC games. They've only lost 1 NFC game. And I think that's the tiebreaker if you haven't played each other.
Yeah, that's
so good. The Cowboys can finish strong within their own division and win all these NFC games. It helps them with tiebreakers against the Packers. And then the Cardinals, all they have to do is drop 1 game, and then the Cowboys could beat them and jump them. So the Cardinals have the Rams, the Colts, Lions. The Lions are on here a lot. They're giving everybody easy wins. And then they end with the Seahawks. So it's not over.
No.
But you still want to go out. First things first, go handle your division.
Yep.
And then we'll scoreboard watch after that. But I'm excited to see – I'm really excited to see Gregory and Lawrence together. Because, one, Gregory was having a Pro Bowl type of year. And Lawrence has always been a force. I think, again, I said it earlier, but when he's on the field, you see his presence right away. I'm also excited because those two guys are going to be on the edges – which means Parsons can do whatever he wants. Or not what he wants. You can weaponize him however you want.
Yeah.
You're not forced to stick him here, forced to stick him there. You play him where he's most effective. And you can let him roam. It's going to be amazing. That's what I'm the most excited for, is to see Parsons play.
Did you see his speed this past week when on his one sack? He kind of broke through the line.
Yeah, and he does that every week. That's what I love. Oh, I love that.
And I was thinking about you this weekend watching the game. At the end of the game, I tried to, you know, think about what I saw, evaluate, and come up with some opinions. And I was like, man, JD asked me a few weeks ago about where I stand on Micah and Surtain. Like, if that pick, if I still have it to make, am I still picking Surtain? And I was at that point. I think I was like probably week 3, maybe week 4. But at this point, I'm picking Micah all day long. He is so dominant out there. He can do so much, whether it's on the line or on that second level.
He's probably the best defensive player in the league. And I don't sound like a homer saying that. Like, he's probably the best defensive player in the league.
Yeah, and I keep seeing some stats, like defensive stats, and the last time the player had it, it was, what's his name? LT. And I think he won, like, defensive player of the year and rookie of the year. And
yeah, we're looking at an LT type of player. That's scary. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, so we'll see the Cowboys step up. One other thing I wanted to talk about. So, I think Cowboys fans were the game was more of a relief, right? Oh, we beat the Saints. What a relief. We're not excited. They didn't look great. But what a relief. But in the NFL, man, yeah, you want them to look good and you hope they start looking better. But it's really just win, baby.
Yeah, for sure.
Because let me tell you a few games. The Chargers, they're 7-4. They beat the Bengals in Cincinnati by 21, almost 20 points. Bengals should have won that game. I mean, Bengals were a better team than that. What else will I look at? Washington beats the Raiders, who, you know, we know is a pretty good team. The Steelers beat the Ravens. The Seahawks beat the Niners. So there's good teams that were losing to below average teams.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The NFL, I mean, honestly, you just have to win these games.
Yeah, you got to figure out a way to win.
And start and keep getting better. Now, you hope in December the Cowboys start to get back to their offensive consistency. And that's what we'll be looking for besides winning the next few weeks. But sometimes, man, you just got to get off that losing streak and you got to win. They still beat the spread. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure a few of our listeners have found some slump busters in New Orleans. So Cowboys ain't the first ones and they ain't the last.
No.
But yeah, the NFL's crazy.
If you look at Mark McCarthy's record, Coach McCarthy, best month of his season always comes in December. Now, part I saw of that's that. Probably having Aaron Rodgers on your team, right? So
it's probably that, and it's also Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
Like, who wants to play there in December? But I'm just give him benefit of the doubt. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll see. This is very much a where are the Cowboys now kind of month.
Yeah. Want them to get like hot again. I know it's not like lose and go home, but it almost feels like we're about to start the playoffs, right? Because we have these division games coming up and they're not must wins, but they almost are.
We have these division games coming up and we're all jockeying for position, so you don't want to lose.
Yeah.
When you lose to the Chiefs or the Broncos, you're like, eh. It happens. Now every loss we're gonna be looking at scoreboards. RJ Ochoa, who's a friend of the show, writes for Blogging the Boys. I think on Sundays he puts out a list. If you're a Cowboys fan, here are the games that are important to you and who you should cheer for. Now those become even more important with seeding and everything. So yeah, it does feel it's crunch time. It might not be playoffs, but it's crunch time. It's definitely the fourth quarter. But besides scoreboard watching and, of course, the Spurs, Cowboys, Mouse, the world wants to know, what have you been watching?
Yo, so, you know what? We got off last week, and I forgot to mention, man, I know you watch it too, but Yellowstone, our favorite probably show on TVs.
Yeah, so
definitely watch.
Do you think we take it for granted because we're watching it every week as it comes out?
Yeah, like it's almost like a given, right? Like I don't jot it down because it's like, I'm going to watch it no matter what.
Exactly.
So, yeah, for sure. So Yellowstone on Paramount, which is – this season, though, isn't the most violent or aggressive.
Maybe they're gearing up for something.
Yeah, that's what my wife said, but I was like, well, they've been gearing up for like 3 or 4 weeks, so let's make it happen. So, but yeah, I hope that that's the case. I still love it. I'm still rooting for it. So, I watched Yellowstone. Dexter, the new Dexter came out. I was going to ask you about that. You never watched Dexter, did you?
No, and I don't have Showtime yet, but I'm thinking about getting it. So
yeah, you need to get that because that's one of my all time favorite shows.
Okay,
we watched it late, like probably after the we watched it after the original Dexter ended. So
so you caught up after the fact.
Yeah, it was like a New Year's Day. We started. We were like flipping through Netflix or whatever it was at that time, and what should we watch? And we just binge watch the heck out of it for like days or weeks at a time to get through everything. And it's definitely up there, like one of my all time favorites. So okay. It's a must watch for you. You gotta check that out. But they brought it back. So the season or series finale kind of ended, kind of leaving it up, up in the open, up in the air. Weren't quite sure, was it going to come back or not? And then they brought it back. And I don't know if you've heard anything about the new blood, but it's on Showtime, of course, again. I think there's like 4 or 5 episodes out, but they're dropping them every week, which sucks. I'm spoiled, right? I want to be able to binge watch it and go through the whole season. So I didn't know it was out. And so we watched a couple of episodes of that. Still pretty good. It's different. It feels a little bit different than the first one. But it's Dexter, some of the same, a lot of the same characters. So I'm still liking that. And then what else? Oh, caught back up on Man in the Arena. The Tom Brady documentary. So again, that's on ESPN Plus. They're doing it just like the Last Dance. There's 10 episodes. And I feel like it's going to be an episode for every Super Bowl season that he's had. And so they're dropping one a week. I think those come out on Tuesdays. So I'm completely caught up. I watched 3 and 4 this week. And this was the year that of Spygate and Randy Moss coming.
Oh,
in the perfect season. So this was a really great episode. Other than the first one, I really like this episode. So one interesting thing is they talk about that they're interviewing Randy Moss, and he actually went to visit Tom Brady the season before he went to New England and told Tom Brady he wanted to play with him. Like, he flew in. Tom Brady was playing in Minnesota. Randy Moss at that time was with Oakland. He flew into Minnesota, snuck in with a costume, like an outfit, into the hotel and talked to Brady and was like, hey, I want to play with you. And so anyway, kind of interesting fact that they bring up. But they talk about that that whole season, and they interview Strahan throughout it. And man, I didn't remember Strahan almost retired. Like, he wasn't coming back for that season. He was on the beach like a week before opening day.
Really?
Yeah. And so they talk a lot to Strahan about it. But we all know that perfect season wasn't so perfect after that, Tyree catch or helmet catch or what have you. So anyway, if y'all haven't checked it out, it's definitely worth it, man. It's Tom Brady. He's the greatest of all time, whether you want to say he is or argue he's not. He's definitely in the conversation. And so it's an interesting inside look, and he's honest about the way he's feeling. And like I said, in the first episode, he talks about being afraid of that AFC championship game. So it's a good insight into him. Yeah, you got to check that out. But that's it. That's all I got. What about you, JD?
I have quite a bit. I guess because I'm not watching shows, I have one. I'm not binging a show, so I have plenty of like movies and things. So I'm doing Yellowstone. I'm caught up as well. I agree with everything you said. I started watching. So have you ever heard? You remember Bill Simmons, right? He's worked for ESPN.
Yep.
So he has a podcast network and a website called The Ringer.
Okay, yeah, The Ringer.
He also has. They do books and movies. He's doing a documentary series on HBO Max. It's called Music Box. So it's all it's all documentaries based on music. So the first one was called Woodstock 99. I talked about it like 2 months ago. It came out a couple months ago. It's fantastic. It's nuts. It's crazy, but the whole Woodstock situation is crazy. But then he's released a few more. There's one on Kenny G. I'm probably not going to listen to it or watch it. There's one on Alanis Morissette, her Jagged Little Pill album. I'm not into that, but I might, because the 90s, that we'll see. But there's one about DMX.
Oh.
And it follows him for his last year of his life.
Oh, man.
It's really good. It's sad. It'll hit you, man. It's sad. Because he's starting to come back, and he's dropping, he's making new music, and he's excited about his life. And then there's things that, happen to him. I don't want to give anything away, but even the way they end the show or the documentary, God, it's sad. It's just
Hey, I know, yeah. like, wait, I don't want to change. I mean, not really changing the subject, but I hate to cut you off. But, you know, we often talk about, like, great rappers. And obviously, yeah. the kids, like, the young generation, they know Pac and Biggie. Do you think they know DMX the same kind of way? Or do you think he flies under the radar?
He's not on – he's – the kids probably don't know him at that level.
Yeah.
But he's probably pretty high up there.
Yeah, man. His albums are so good. Like, I just remember bumping them so much. When we were in high school. I was probably in middle school. You were in high school.
Yeah, right. We went to the same school, same grades. You're right. Because I think it was our freshman year or sophomore year. He came out with those two albums back to back.
Yeah.
It's Dark and Hell is Hot. And Flesh of My Flesh. Like, yeah, he's up there. And it's a really good doc. You have to watch it. It's amazing. Yeah, but it's also
HBO
sad.
HBO Max?
HBO Max.
Okay.
If you search Music Box, a bunch of them will come up. And then so by the time everybody listens to this, there's another one coming out about Saturday Night Fever, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
So he's pretty good. So Bill Simmons also has a podcast called The Rewatchables, where they talk about an old movie that, you know, that they love. And they did Saturday Night Fever this week. And it's leading into the documentary, so I'll probably check that out. But I haven't watched that yet, so I'm not recommending it. I haven't seen it yet. I got into the Christmas spirit. I asked you at the beginning of the podcast, so I watched. We watched Elf.
Oh,
that is on HBO Max, I believe. Yes, HBO Max.
All time favorite.
All time classic. Yeah, I watched. We watched Gremlins.
Oh. Undercover Christmas.
Yeah, movie. Exactly. But our friend Michael Jimenez, who's on every weekday on San Antonio Sports Star, he didn't watch a lot of old movies, so he rewatched that also. I just saw that on Twitter. But yeah, I try to watch that every Christmas. The kids think it's hilarious because those gremlins are nuts.
Yeah.
And we do watch it every Christmas, so it is on our Christmas list of movies. I watched. Remember that movie, Christmas Party?
Work Christmas party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason Bateman. That's Miller. A funny one. Yeah, I had never seen it. It was on Hulu, so I was like, check it out. That's pretty good. I liked it. That was on Hulu, and then let's see what you think of here. The ABC had a special.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be a little conversation starter with us. It came out this week. You could watch it on Hulu. It was called A Very Boy Band Christmas. So it's like the reason I watched it. So you and I are the age where we were way too old for NSYNC and Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
What I mean is, like, we were already in high school. We're not going to listen to that corny stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't cool.
But they had Boyz II Men on there.
Oh.
And they had two members of New Edition, Bobby Brown and Michael Bivins. So my first reaction was, damn, they actually invited Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
They're crazy. What's he doing there? So I love New Edition. I love Boyz II Men. So I checked it out. You know, it was very corny singing and a little just talking amongst themselves. But it was cool. The reason I really watched it, and I did enjoy it, it is, if you're looking for something corny to play on the radio, on the TV while you're making Christmas dinner or cookies or whatever, it's solid. I was the question always comes up is, are Boyz II Men a boy band?
Oh.
And so they were on this. And I was like, should they be on this? Whatever. They do go on there and say, yeah, we don't think we're a boy band.
Yeah.
But thanks for inviting us, and we'll participate. But they said it a few times. I don't think we're boy bands. But it was still cool. I mean, they weren't ugly about it. They still did all the singing, and they were cool with everybody. And they were just talking about how they were all fans, like NSYNC. I said Backstreet Boys are not on there. It was what's one of the other ones?
Did they have New Kids on the Block?
One of them did show up. He sang a song and left. Yeah, a couple of them were on there.
Wait, so where do you stand? Is Boyz II Men, are they a boy band?
No, they're R&B group.
Yeah, okay, I'm with you. Yeah, because when I think boy band, I think the same dances. I think like they got to be pop, right?
And they got to be put together. Like they didn't, you know, a producer probably put them together and taught them how to dance and all that.
Yeah,
but it was cool. It's I still can't believe Bobby Brown. I can't believe we're in a time where Bobby Brown is kind of just genuinely accepted, because he had gone through his phases. You know what I mean?
Hey, if that guy was like in his prime right now, he would have been canceled by cancel culture a long time ago.
Nah, he wouldn't. Are you kidding me? Doesn't Chris Brown still have a career?
I don't think so. Does he?
And he like beat Rihanna. If you're talented, you can do whatever you want. Bobby Brown was just nuts. But it's funny seeing him in that position, right? Because I always trip out too with Snoop Dogg. Because when we were kids, Snoop Dogg was like a gangster. He was literally on trial for murder.
Yeah.
And now he's on like every commercial on TV pushing products.
I know. I freaked out. I don't know if it was on Instagram or something, but he was like showing a video of his grandbabies. And I'm like,
yeah.
Snoop's a grandpa? Like, what?
Yeah.
What's going on?
So seeing Bobby Brown like sing cheesy Christmas songs with O-Town, pretty funny.
O-Town.
But and then Boyz II Men told a story about how they were big New Edition fans, and that's even where they got their name, Boyz II Men. So yeah, it was cool. Like I said, it's not fantastic, but if you grew up in that era, or you know you're a fan of any of them, and you need something on TV while you're doing your Christmas stuff, hanging up your stockings, whatever, it's cool. Now another thing I want to talk to you that I started. I was hoping you watched it. I just want to get your opinion. Yeah. The new Saved by the Bell season 2 started?
I didn't. Saw that. I haven't even watched the first season.
Oh, I thought you did. Okay.
No, I think I watched like the first 2 episodes or something, 3 episodes. But I never finished it.
So it's on Peacock. Season 2 just started. But they load all those up at once. So you can binge it in a day or two.
Okay.
Half of the show is about the old cast, and then half the show is about the new cast. I will say it's extremely progressive. So the new cast, it's almost like a budding of cultures, right? The new cast is very progressive, whatever you want to call it, woke culture, whatever. The cast is very diverse. And then the old cast is trying to kind of fit into the new world. I will say this, though. They do make fun of themselves, and they do have inside jokes. Like, for instance, the inside joke is that Jesse Spano had a wild time in Vegas for a few years.
Huh.
Which is actually referencing Showgirls, the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So they do little things like that, so you can catch that. It's not corny at all. Like I said, it's very self-aware. They do make jokes about the old show, about why they were doing certain things. But it's cool. It makes fun of itself, and it's also a good show, but it is also very progressive. So if it's not something you're into, then you might want to stay away. But I'm enjoying it. And the only other thing I'm watching, I really, besides Christmas movies, what I like to do is a lot of the streaming sites now, they're good about this too, is I like watching Christmas episodes of TV shows. I know Hulu breaks down a few of them. Peacock Network does. When I say breaks down, they'll have a section where it just shows you all the Christmas episodes of TV shows. So I was going to ask you before we go, what's one of your memorable TV show episodes of Christmas?
Oh, man.
Growing up, or maybe recent.
Oh, that's good.
Like, what would you like to look for if you're like, you know what, I want to watch the, how about Saved by the Bell Christmas episode where they're in the mall?
That's a good one, yeah. With the
and the homeless people,
like just the homeless, yeah. That's up there. I can't even think of anything else. I feel like I want to say the Goldbergs because I mean, they usually do good, or like Modern Family in terms of new ones.
Yeah, those are good.
I can't think of like specific episodes. Shoot, man, I hate to be a bust, but...
No, I was just wondering if anything stuck out to you.
What about you?
Saved by the Bell is a good one. Do you remember that show, The O.C.?
I'm familiar with it, but I don't
think I watched it. We were in college when it came out. So me and another friend of ours, we used to watch it like crazy, and they used to have really good Christmas episodes because one of the kids on the show was half Christian, half Jewish.
Uh-huh.
So he develops a super holiday called Chrismukka. Those stand out to me as far as TV Christmas shows.
And I feel like there's got to be like a good Seinfeld Christmas episode.
Well, yeah, the Festivus.
Oh yeah, Festivus for the rest of us. Yeah,
that's a good one. That's a really good one. That's up there. Festivus for the rest of us. I know we're gonna think of more after we log off, but if we do, we'll just talk about them next week. But have your list ready, man, for Christmas movies. And you know what? I will let you like I'm the boss. I want you to drop your hot take about Christmas movies next week.
Okay.
You have a real, in my opinion, a horrible take.
I think it's, I mean.
You know what you know what I'm talking about.
But. It seems good to me.
Okay. So we'll bring that up next week. What else we're watching. Get everybody more in the Christmas spirit. But before we go, last week I talked about going downtown for Christmas, the lights, you know, Travis Park, ice skating, the river boats, go see all the lights on the Riverwalk. Great time. I know it's kind of cliche to eat food on the Riverwalk, especially for locals. You know, I went to the original Mexican restaurant. It's called The Original.
Mm-hmm.
Been there forever, downtown Riverwalk. It was really good.
Really?
Yeah, and I know, again, the cliche is don't eat on the Riverwalk, and I get it. But if you're down there and you're having a good time and you're doing everything I talked about last week with the lights and Christmas, The Original is a good choice. I had the enchiladas. They were really good. You know, it's San Antonio Tex-Mex. It's not too overpriced. They serve you these big old beers, so if you're trying to – have a drink before you jump on the boat. Yeah. My son had the crispy tacos.
I thought you were going to say he had the beer.
Like, oh, no, not yet. Dude, he acted like they were the greatest thing he's ever had in his life.
Really?
And they're, you know, because the food's not crazy. It's not crazy. It's Texas. It's San Antonio regular hole in the wall Tex-Mex.
Yeah.
Not even tourists. It's just the menu's just like any other place in town. Man, I should, if he was awake right now, I would have him review those crispy. He wants to go back for that. But like, we're not going to the Riverwalk just for dinner. But I recommend that if you're down there. We've recommended a ton of places around downtown. So if you still have the stigma of eating on the Riverwalk, that's fine. Go to our Instagram page at Spurs and Salsa. We got plenty of food reviews downtown and all around San Antonio. I'm thinking we're going to review a beer next week that's hitting the shelves. I think as we speak, it's getting delivered to a lot of HEBs around town.
I'm not a big craft beer drinker.
Uh-huh.
But I know what you're talking about, and I've seen that. I've seen so many people post about it. So I don't know.
Yeah, it hit today. So we'll have to drink it next week. That's got to be our goal. So we got Christmas movies, TV shows, local beer that you've talked that, you know, it's got a buzz around it. So we got to jump on that by next week. We'll talk Texas recruiting, the state of Texas high school football recruiting. We'll see if the Spurs give us more hope for the playoffs, or are we going to start Googling mock drafts again? And the Cowboys, we got plenty to talk about. But until then, everybody have a nice holidays. I mean, we'll be back, but get those Christmas tree lights up. If you haven't done it yet, you're running out of time. Get that shopping done, and until next week, go Spurs, go!